Hello, this is William Hemphill with the Faith and Family Matters podcast, the show where we talk about things concerning faith, marriage, and family. I am William Hemphill. I'm your podcast host. I'm also a pastoral therapist that works a lot with couples helping to build marriage. I do want to talk about something a little different today, and it has to do with on the lines of adoption. What you may not know about me is in the midst of this, what you may not know about me is that I'm an adoptive parent. And so I am blessed to have three wonderful children who are actually, I want to say grown now instead of grownish, because one has their own family, their own children, and one is living on their own. The other one is in college staying with us. And so I have three wonderful children. I'm blessed to be their father. But also, I do a lot of work with Georgia State in training adoption competent counselors. And so I was just on a podcast, the Dad Space podcast, and we were just talking about family and things that went on. And one of the things that came to mind was something that we had talked about in TAC, and we called it the six stuck spots of adoption. Six stuck spots of adoption, especially as it relates to adopted teens. And I wanted to share a little bit about that, just in case some of you out here are adopted parents or are thinking about adopted parents. I want you to understand the importance of those things in helping our children build and strengthen who they are. And so those six stuck spots, reason for adoption: missing and difficult information, difference, identity, loyalty, and permanence. So I want to talk about those briefly and what they are. First one is the reason for adoption. I was in, I think it was a counseling, not a counseling session, counseling conference. And I happened to be doing some presentation work on adoption. And I remember one lady who was there telling the story about the fact that her parents tried to not let people know that she was adopted, and some of the struggles that came from that. One of the things that children need to know is the reason for adoption. Now, you can decide it at an age-appropriate way. Maybe it's early teens, especially when they're trying to figure out identity. But you need to know the reason for adoption, because children, especially when they start to hit the preteen, teenage years, they are seeking identity. They are seeking to understand who they are as people. And so they want to know why they were adopted. They want to know whether it's good or tough circumstances. How did they come to be a part of your family? And so why that adoption occurred might be including why they're not with their birth mother or birth father, i.e. the parents who birthed them, their genetic heritage, why they may or may not be with other family members, but then also why you chose to bring them into your home. All of those aspects are important to gain understanding. So the reason for adoption is important. Missing and difficult information is important. As you work in the adoption system, and I don't know if anybody has this experience, but I'm sure a lot of people do, there's often missing information, especially if a child was adopted internationally, overseas, or something like that. There's a lot of missing information: who their parents are, what their country of origin is, do they have any siblings? All these things that we can easily take for granted. They want to know that missing and difficult information. And so that's important to let children know, especially as they enter in that age of identity. I suggest working with a therapist who can help you with that, especially if they're adoption competent. That makes a difference. Third area, difference. Especially if you're doing a cross-cultural adoption. And cross-culture could be a lot of things. That could be from different countries, different races, different religions, different sexual orientation, different all of these things. It's first of all important to acknowledge that there is a difference. I think the worst thing that we can do, for example, is to pretend we don't see color or race, because it's there. I live in the U.S., southern U.S. It's there. And if you may not acknowledge it, or you may not acknowledge it, there will be other people who will acknowledge it. So say, for example, you're an Anglo culture family and you happen to have adopted one child that's African American or Asian American. People are going to look at your family and say something. They may not say anything to you, but they're going to say something. And sooner or later, kids will say something to your child. Because you know how children roll in school, in neighborhoods, and so on and so forth. So acknowledging that difference is important. But I would also say not just acknowledging that difference, because youth, especially adolescents, are starting to be in search for identity, maybe as an adopted parent, helping to connect them to people with that similar cultural background or different things like that is going to be so very important. And so we talked about reasons for adoption, missing and difficult information, difference. Identity. We all want to know who we are. And we know that those teenage years are times when children are starting to seek their identity apart from their parents. I remember my mother talking to me, and she said, I was a pretty good kid, but she said between 13 and 18, her child disappeared. She didn't know who I was from 13 to 18. Part of that, I'm sure, was me trying to figure out who I am and form my own identity in my world of friends and my associates and all those different things like that. And also gaining some independence to make decisions. And so adolescents are naturally going to be wanting to form their own identity. And that actually is a good thing if they're to grow and mature into being adults. But we want to support that part of identity. And when you start dealing with adopted children, part of finding that identity is going to be knowing their background, knowing their culture, knowing their history, and acknowledging their uniqueness, especially when it's different from us. Loyalty. That's a very interesting one. I remember, I think this might have been one of my children in their 20s, having conversations, and one of them telling me, hey, we used to have discussions with our birth parents sometimes, but we didn't tell you. We didn't tell you because we were worried how you might react. And I said, okay, that makes sense. Because see, what they were trying to do was deal with split loyalties, if I should use that term correctly. On the one hand, they were loyal to our family. We are raising them, we're feeding them, we're supporting them, we're helping them to grow in young men and women. And we were doing these things to help build them up and train them. But they also had a genetic background that was different from ours. And so because of that, and in the case of my children, they knew their birth family, especially on their mother's side, sometimes they wanted to have conversations. Now, I have three children. There were different levels of commitment to that conversations. I had to work with them sometimes to say, okay, how do you handle your commitment while respecting that your sibling's commitment might be different? And so working with that, to do that because it could see very easily where there might be split loyalties at times, but learning to understand that, respect that, and give it grace. We also see that in step families, by the way. You know, you might have stepchildren, and hopefully you're not in your feelings too much as a parent when you're the step parents. Like, why do they still love their father? Or why do they still love their mother? It just comes with the territory. It comes with the birth and the attachment and different things like that. I won't cover that this time, but there's some big things to know about that. And then permanence. Permanence is important. On the Dad Space podcast, I actually said this. My wife and I, when we decided to adopt, we didn't want to be foster parents. We didn't want to be foster parents because I knew that I would get attached to children. And they could come in my house, and I'm staying, and I'm building these attachments. Then all of a sudden, the government or foster care system says, okay, they're gone somewhere else. And that would have messed me up. Also, from the sake of children, permanence is important because they need a place to call home. And so, understanding if your home is permanence and your family is permanence is a big key. And as I'm thinking about that, sometimes it will be tested. I've known situations where you've had sibling groups adopted and, you know, one member of the sibling group, you know, they just blend right into the family. They roll along. They do the things they should do, go to school, different things and stuff like that. And another member rebels and tries to break every rule possible. They're trying to test and see if the love will be there no matter what. It's interesting. Since we're the Faith and Family Matters podcast, I'm going to talk a little faith piece about that. Just what I said there reminds me of something I was meditating on earlier today about the story of the prodigal son. You know, the younger son, hey, dad, give me my inheritance. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead to me. Give me my money. Story talks about how dad just gave him the money freely. He went out, riotous living, party, having a good time, lost all his money, lost all his friends when he lost all his money. Imagine that if you're trying to buy friends. When the money's gone, his friends were gone. He was sitting in the pig pen, fighting pigs for slop, and said, hey, you know what? I can go back and be a servant at my dad's house. Comes, scripture tells us dad sees him a long way off and runs to meet him. He didn't know why his son was coming. He already knew that this son had considered he was dead and all that. But when he saw his son far off, he came and ran to meet him. In other words, he showed grace and forgiveness. And here's the truth. Even though we're talking about adoption, all of us need grace and forgiveness in our lives. We all need someone to just love us for who we are. Or as I like to say, the old church mothers would say, love us in our ugly, not our ugly, your ugly. Love us when we're good and when we're not so good. We all need that. And permanency is a part of that. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts real quick as it deals with adoption. The six stuck spots that adopted teenagers may face, reasons for adoption, missing and difficult information, difference, identity, loyalty, and permanence. If you want to know more about it, just look for CASE, I believe it's Center for Adoption. I've forgotten the last two letters. It just slipped my mind that quick, but it's called CASE. They actually have a list of adoption competent therapists in your state. So if you need to work with someone to help you in blending and becoming a family, they would have some ideas for that. Now, if you're in the state of Georgia, I can help adoptive parents, especially adoptive couples, work with some of the things you may be dealing with and how adoption can affect your marriage. Because I do believe that stable marriages help build stable and good families. And so that is the hope for us in doing that. So this is William Hemphill with the Faith and Family Matters podcast, thanking you for joining us today. And for more information about me and my work, please go to my website at www.faithandfamilyempowerment.com. Take care.